Wonderful, wonderful. Good to be with you. So glad for the things that are happening at Miracle Life. Obviously, while we are having in-person gatherings again, we do want to be safe. We want to be considerate of our neighbors and to keep good health regulations. So thank God that we can be back. Impact Youth and Merge are happening today, this afternoon, so they are back. And then M Kids from ages 6 and over are back next week in our new buildings. So that is fantastic. Wonderful. We'll give you a full update in the weeks to come. But please realize that, thank God, our buildings are open. But there's a lot of stuff to get into the buildings as far as furniture and equipment and all those kinds of things that we're going to be doing as we give and as we continue to serve the Lord in that way. I do want to make mention that announcement about depression for young people. It's a very, very real situation. It is something that's been happening worldwide during the time of COVID, especially for young people. So please, please, if you know of someone or if that is you, a young person, please, we'd love to help them. And there's a way over that. That class is not just for Chelsea fans. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, although Chelsea fans are welcome to attend. Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. Or Chipotle fans. Okay. All right. Today is Easter, and it is just such a blessing to, I just love driving around Lusaka on the way to church and back and just seeing churches packed out and people celebrating our risen Savior. And it's happening all over the world. In some places in the world, probably today, there'll be people going to church and they may be blown up for it. This is a time where persecution sadly happens for some of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. But the resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of what we believe as Christians. And without it, there is no Christian faith. The Apostles' Creed, some of us used to say this every Sunday about Jesus, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. So it is what we believe based on the Bible. But today I want to look at a couple places in Scripture to say, what does that mean for us today? How does that affect our life and the way we live and the way we think about the future? And I thought it would be very appropriate, because I think these two scriptures we're going to look at, you'll see this truth. Great is thy faithfulness, that wonderful hymn. There's a phrase in there that says this: strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. So there's something for today, and that's strength. That's the grace of God. And there's something about tomorrow, and that is we have knowledge about tomorrow. There's hope for tomorrow. And I want us to look at this very specifically about the resurrection of Jesus, how it gives us strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And Paul he's starting this chapter with a question, but it's in response to what he was saying in chapter 5, that our right standing with God, our righteousness, is based solely on what Jesus did and not on what we have done or what we do. All right. So he's kind of rhetorically realizing what they might be thinking. And so Romans 6:1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Question mark. Certainly not. No way. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So the ordinance of water baptism And as believers, we're commanded by the Lord Jesus to be baptized. If you're a Christian and you haven't been baptized as a believer, since you've made a decision to follow Jesus, you heard the announcement, please come to the class. We're going to have a wonderful water baptism. I'm not sure if it's going to be in the new gigantic pool. You can get baptized with 20 people at the same time. You won't, but it's that big, all right? And it's this idea that when we were baptized, we went into the water. That was a sign that we died. We died to sin, but we didn't stay under the water, did we? Sometimes in baptism class, people who are reluctant, they don't really like water, I'll tell them, we won't leave you under, okay? And you'll come back up, and that's when Jesus rose, we rose. But we rose in a different manner. We're clean, we're washed, we're a new person, all right? And look at here at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this. Okay, so that's our ears have to perk up. Something we need to know, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the resurrection of Jesus tells us that something is different about us. The resurrection of Jesus caused us to rise from spiritual death, to rise over temptation and sin. And in verse 4, I just love the way it puts it here. Paul says that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And it's a historical fact. It happened. There is an empty tomb. But it says, even so we. Everybody say that. Say, even so. All right. So it means it's not just for Jesus. It doesn't just affect Jesus. Even so we also, what? Should walk in newness of life. Friend, that's today. That's not, and thank God for heaven. And I'm so glad we get to go there. But it's newness of life now. Eternal life starts the moment we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All right? And just as Jesus died and was raised, verse 11 says, likewise you also. Likewise you also. Meaning just as Jesus, we also. All right? The resurrection of Jesus means that you and I can walk in newness of life. There was a chorus, if you were a believer in the 80s, you may have heard it. But there was a little phrase in it. I have a new way of living. I have a new life, divine. And it was kind of a corny song, but that's really good theology. All right. That because of the resurrection of Jesus, we are not refurbished sinners. We are not normal human beings trying to overcome temptation, grinding our teeth and by the sweat of our brow. If Jesus rose, we rise. Sin has no dominion, authority over us. Now, if we're a believer, we still have the ability to be foolish. We still have the ability to look at the tree and say, that looks good, even though God said it's bad. But the power of sin is broken. It has no hold over you. All right. There is no generational sin in your family that is stronger than the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that resides on the inside of you. That is a mockery of the cross. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Now, did my mom and dad teach me and show me some examples of sinning? Yeah, they did. All right. And as my wife got to know my mom and dad, and she started to realize, oh, I understand. Right? Now, her parents are flawless and sinless, so I've never yet to see that. Alec and Christy, if we're watching, we love you from Lusaka. All right. All right. But there's no demonic power that my parents or my grandparents, or because my great-grandparent was a fifth-degree Mason. Who cares? Jesus rose. Sin has no dominion over me. Adultery is not in my, it's not in my blood anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no mystical bloodline. All right? Hallelujah. New life. New life with Jesus. All right? Let's look at another passage along these very same lines. Same book, Romans, two chapters later. Romans chapter 8. Turn there. Bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible on your cell phone. All right? Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even your body will die because of sin, meaning we don't have physical immortality in this lifetime. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Righteousness. The Spirit of God, the very same one who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. That's a lot of power. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal body through this same Spirit living in you. So if you are in a business situation or a professional situation, something in your marriage, whatever it is that seems too hard, it seems beyond your ability, guess what? It is. But we don't rely on our ability. We thank God for the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives in me. Holy Spirit, I look to You right now. Help me with this. Holy Spirit, I'd like to say this, but I yield to You right now in this moment. Same Spirit lives in you. All right? So one of the greatest ways that the Holy Spirit helps us, remember Jesus called Him the Helper, is that if we keep reading in Romans 8, it says that He leads us as the children of God. All right? And there are going to be times where the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. Don't respond to that text. Don't go to that meeting. Don't go to that hotel room. He'll lead you and then He'll empower you to do it. Amen? So He reminds us of the words of Jesus. Now, strength for today, but the resurrection of Jesus also gives us bright hope for tomorrow. Bright hope for tomorrow. The resurrection of Jesus changes the way we see our future, and it changes the way we see the future of others. And one of the things that Easter shouts, and it shouts to us, is death is not the final chapter of the story. Physical death is not the final chapter to the story of your story or anyone else's story. Death is not the end. If you followed the Good Friday service that we had on a couple days ago, that when Jesus went into the tomb, it wasn't the end. He had promised that something would happen. All right. There is more to the story. All right. And so for the people of God and as believers, us and for those in the family of God, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful hope that we have. Look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And again, notice about the resurrection of Jesus and what that means. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Hope is always about the future. For if we believe what? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, now, sounds exactly like what Paul was saying in Romans 6, right? This even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So believing in the death and the resurrection of Jesus changes the way we see the death of a believer. It changes the way we think about our own death. I don't think you need to think about it every moment of your life, all right? But we are going to die, right? Every now and then, sadly, there, especially among Pentecostals, there's a preacher that rises up kind of once every generation who believes in physical immortality that will never die. And I've noticed one common denominator about all those preachers. They die. Yeah. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, that'd be awesome, will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Everybody together, one big happy family. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, with these words, with these realities. Comfort one another. All right. Verse 13 talks about those of us who have this awareness. We are commanded to grieve as those with hope, to be different with those who grieve without hope. You know, when I grew up, there were different ways that people would kind of show that they were Christians. And in different communities, different churches, there were kind of popular ways of doing that. In some churches, it was that the ladies would wear a dress to their ankles. All right. And that was a sign of a Christian. My mother decided the sign of a Christian was to put Christian bumper stickers. Not one, not two. Mom, I hope you're watching. Happy Easter. Love you too. All over the back of her car. Right? So she'd pick me up for sports and events, and here's Mama with Jesus loves you, and, you know, going to heaven, so hallelujah. So different ways of showing that we're Christians, all right? Not to say that they're wrong, but here's one of the things that I have found that is almost a perfect way to know if somebody's a Christian, and that is go to a funeral. And I've been to a lot of funerals, and many of yours, in your family. And I can almost spot the Christians from the non-Christians. How? It's the way they grieve. And here's the thing. Are Christians, are we supposed to grieve? Of course we grieve. But we grieve with hope. And it is a horrible thing to watch people grieve with no hope. And I've seen it. And that's when I wonder, oh Lord, they need to know you. They need to be saved. Or at least to come to this awareness. All right. Because we have a knowledge. We have a knowledge that produces hope. And that is Jesus died and Jesus rose again. So even so, what that means is that our God is not confined or limited to physical death. Physical death. All right. Now, the world that we live in, it is, it is the greatest enemy. It is the thing that does produce no hope. And I don't know if you've watched, in a sense, some of the all the news coverage of COVID, and with COVID, for some, sadly, comes death. And we've had two of our own members that went to be with the Lord because of COVID. But many, many times the secular world, there's such despair. There's such hopelessness. Because for them, it's the end. It's the end. And people that don't believe in Jesus, for many, many, that's just the cessation of life, and it's over. Some people try to cheat this, and they'll say, you know, freeze my body. And there's, I guess, a few famous people who have done this. And that when we discover how to bring people back from the dead, then you can bring me back from the dead. Guess what? It hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's going to happen. Biblically, all right? But Easter tells us that our God triumphs over death, and there is a resurrection. And just as Jesus rose from the dead and he came back in a brand new body of immortality, you and I, when we die in Christ and our bodies are committed to the earth in faith because of our trust in Jesus Christ, we will receive a brand new body. We will live with Jesus forever, and there will be a family reunion and a marriage supper of the Lamb. And that is our hope. It's our hope. It's our hope. And I see some of you in today, and I was at your funeral house, and I know loved ones that are no longer with you. Guess what? There's hope. There's hope. This is not the final chapter. And when you die is not the final chapter. Paul puts it in another way in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, meaning our body that gets wrinkled and our hair falls out and hair stops growing one place and it starts growing somewhere else. Weird, right? This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, quoting from Hosea, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? That's mocking. That's taunting, isn't it? We do not, Christians, have to fear our own death. Please, please stick around a long time. We need you. I truly believe God needs us on this earth for a long time. There's a big, big work to do. All right. So let's be safe and let's be smart and let's trust God. But when that day comes, we do not have to be afraid, because since Jesus rose, we rise. We rise. Amen. We have great hope and certainty for those who die in the Lord. We have a glorious future. Because Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead. We can't find the bones of Jesus. There is an empty tomb. And as the angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? We serve a risen Savior. And so there is life and liberty and strength for today. The victory of Jesus is our victory over sin and over temptation, over every human limitation. But also, his resurrection means that we view death completely differently as those, as the Bible would say, who have no hope. They have no view of this in their future. Amen? So, how do we live? we live with this realization, with this memory. And I pray truly that while we take this day once a year and we read scripture and we really zone in on the resurrection of Jesus, live every day of your life. Jesus is alive. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for you. Amen. He's on your side. Shall we pray today? Father, we love you so much. Thank you that you sent Jesus, that he accomplished his mission, that he was obedient to every aspect of the law that you commanded for us, and he did it for us. And then he was obedient to the cross, and he submitted himself to such humiliation and shame. But Father, you exalted him. You gave him a name above all names, and that name has been given to the church. It is our name. It is our victory. It is our life. And Father, we thank you so much. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here in this auditorium or if you are participating in this service online, I want to ask you a question. What have you decided in your life about the risen Savior? What have you decided? What do you believe? I look back on my life, and there were times where, as an unsaved young person, oh, I loved Easter. I loved going to church on Easter. But you know what? Even though I knew that Jesus was alive, he wasn't alive in me. I had never made a decision to follow him. I never repented of my sin. And you are here today, and if you listen to this sermon and you read these scriptures with us, I hope you believe Jesus is alive. So what are you going to do about that? What decision will you make? Follow him. Receive him as Savior and Lord. Friend, you do need a Savior from your sin. You can't fix it. You can't wash it. You can't undo the mistakes. Oh, but Jesus is the healer, and Jesus will restore your life. Well, how does that happen? The Bible makes it really clear. We hear the gospel, which you've heard today, and then we respond in faith. And faith is what is right now in your heart that we verbalize with our mouth. We believe something in our heart, we say it with our mouth, and we are saved. That Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died and he's raised from the dead. And then God does a miracle in your life, and he makes you a brand new person. He brings you into his family. If you're here in this auditorium and that's you, I would like to pray with you. If you're watching online, we're going to pray together as well. If that's you, just simply raise up your hand here in the auditorium. You say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus. I'm a backslidden Christian. I need to come home. I need to be restored and repent of my sin. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that great decision. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Who else? Oh, what a great, great day to know and to serve Jesus. If you're watching online, we're going to pray right now. Could we all stand to our feet here in the auditorium? We're going to pray this prayer together as a church family with those who have lifted up their hands. Say this with me from your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Just go ahead and watch. If you're watching online, just say this with me. You rose from the dead. You are alive forevermore. And I turn to you now. I believe you're my Savior. I repent of my sin. And I follow you now. For the rest of my life, I confess you as Lord and as Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful day. If those of you that lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking, you know what, I prayed that prayer, it meant something. Could I just meet you up front? I'm going to put on my mask. I'd just like to meet you up front. We want to just help you take a great decision and walk with God. If you would, please. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else, you prayed that prayer and you said, I want to make Jesus my Lord. Just, can you take a step back? Awesome, awesome. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Oh, I tell you, Easter Sunday, for the rest of your life, this is your resurrection day. Thank you for following Jesus. And what we'd like to do as a church, we'd like to give you a book. We'd like to pray with you. And we'd like to help you follow Jesus for the rest of your life. Thank you for your courage. If you would just follow... this side. Just follow Masunda. We're going to go this way. Just a few minutes of your time. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. All right. Congregation, you can have a seat. If you're following online and you prayed that prayer and you're following Jesus, we want to help you. If you're in Lusaka, we want you to be in a great Bible-believing church. If you're somewhere, anywhere around the world, we want to help you get into a great church and to follow Jesus. So if you're watching on Facebook, just type in the comments, I just got saved. I'm following Jesus, something like that. If you're watching on YouTube, there's going to be a number on the screen where you can text, WhatsApp, let us know, and we want to be a great blessing in your life. Amen? Amen. All right, so... kind of with the new way that we're doing church, at least for now, we're not passing offering buckets because we don't want to be sharing with each other in that way. But we are going to receive an offering. There's going to be receptacles at the back of the auditorium. All right. Offering envelopes are on your way in. But let's read a scripture as we prepare our hearts for tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3, this time in the history of, this was Judah at the time, they were not great. There were a lot of things that they were not following God in. And one of them was in their financial commitment to help the temple and to make sure that it was doing its work. And then they're reminded what God said. In Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." And then he says, there's going to be wonderful, amazing things of obedience. Now, in our day and age, there's not a temple, but there is the local church. And I believe that the tithe is God's way of financing the activities of the local church. If you were in our AGM week or so ago, lots of activities happening at this church. I believe that hopefully as COVID continues to go down and we're able to do more and more in-person ministry, this year, folks, and into next year, we've got a big, big job to do. Big, big job to do. There are a lot of backsliders that need to come back to Jesus. And so we're gonna ramp up stuff. So we need your participation through tithes and offerings to simply do the work that God has asked this church to do. So thank you to so many of you who have been participating while we've been online. My goodness, such amazing faithfulness. All right. And those of you that were keeping your tithe under your bed, well, here we're back together again. All right. So we're going to give to the Lord with a happy heart, with a grateful heart, knowing that we get to participate in His work on the earth that is happening through the local church. All right. So we're going to do that as we close. So we're going to pray over the offering. We'll pray a closing prayer. And then on your way out, we'll give our gifts of love. All right. So do want to make mention again, as we close, if you are here physically and you need prayer in your life, and you need help in any way, there are wonderful, wonderful care team members who have been caring via the phone for a while, but now they're here physically, and they would love to be able to pray with you. If you're watching online, we've got people that want to minister to you. So please, again, reach out to us. Let us know what's happening in your life. You don't have to suffer alone at Miracle Life. And there's an answer. There's a miracle for whatever you're facing. All right? Are we good? Okay. Oh, thank you, thank you. Your communion element, the little packet and the cup, they're going to be receptacles on your way out. I guess, ushers, please let us know which one is the offering and which one is the communion receptacle. Please make that very, okay, the blue is for communion. Yep. Yes. The blue is for communion, the small buckets, and then the baskets are for, and they're much, much bigger, is for offering. Okay? You got it? All right. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we are grateful for the work of Jesus, and that it is a finished work. Jesus redeemed us. Jesus washed us. And we are sons and daughters because Jesus died and was raised from the dead. Father, thank you. Lord, may we help share this hope through our life and our lifestyle, through the words that we say. Anoint us to preach and to heal and to help and to lift people. Father, many, many hopeless people during this season. God, use us as great evangelists all over our families and our world. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for your sustaining and keeping power. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. And please follow the ushers. They're going to allow us to be dismissed from the back to the front. So just go ahead and stay in your seat until they give you that guidance. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.